Would every single mother like to stand up, please? Every single mother. So before the children go out, we have something for you. I guess it's your kids thinking, yeah. Oh, look, there they are. You have a flower from us to say thank you for what you do. Let's just give them out in a minute. We appreciate you. You do so much, so many hidden things people don't see. The men just moan. The women just get on with it. I know. We just have a little flower for you here. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. Actually, I reckon other kids still in. They're not gone out yet, have they? Some and some. Disobedient lot. Anyway, we just want to appreciate the mothers, what they do. They do so much. And we've got a little video. You might have seen it before, but I want to show it. I've seen it once before, and it's fantastic. You have to listen up. This is what happens in the day of a mother's life. And so have you got that video up there, Joe? Joe, will you stop kissing Alison and get on with what you're supposed to be doing? I saw you. You're a whispering sweet nothing in her ear. Okay, focus, man. here's a little video. You might have to put the volume up so we can hear it about the day in the life of a mother.
What I have done is I have figured out what a mom would say in a 24-hour period, and I have condensed it to 2 minutes and 55 seconds. So strap on your seatbelt. Here we go. Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. Because remember, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3-2. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel, chew slowly, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't play rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make your bed, do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Answer the phone, get off the phone. Don't sit so close, turn it down. No texting at the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod if you don't listen up. Where are you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Say thank you, please, excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I'd thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, we'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two, of the stuff you hate. Use a fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A, get the door, don't be smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, I'll count to three. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a dose. I don't care who started, you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said at least 1,000 times before that you're too old to act this way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Oh! Brush your teeth, brush your face, put your PJs on, get in bed, get a hug, say a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because our moms work never ends, and you don't need the reason why. Because, 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 because. The mom, the mom, the mom, the mom! Ta-da!
So we appreciate you, okay? I think it's good. I'm sure you've seen it before, but I just love it. You're just really very real and very true. So thank you very much. All right. Just to let you know, if you're visiting, my name is Simon. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ the King Church. And we've started a series. Henry started last week on a series called Connecting to Jesus. Connecting to Jesus. And if it is your first time this morning, hopefully with the songs that we've sung, and Jay exhorting us with the truth that we're singing, it's not just lullabies, it's not just very nice things, it's something that lives in our heart. It's something that we really, really get a kick out of when we worship Jesus. Jesus has done good things in our lives. Is that right, James and Shannon? Absolutely. We just celebrated, they did the wedding, and a few weeks ago, and it was great because Jesus is in the business of restoring, building up people's lives. And so we started this series. Remember, let's just remember that connecting to Jesus starts with a real relationship with him. It starts with, I'm not a very good person. God is holy. God once had a relationship together, but we broke it by an old-fashioned word called sin. It in a modern day kind of thing, doing your own thing, not doing what God wants you to do. And a real relationship can only be found in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Everything we celebrate every Christmas is every Sunday is because of Easter. It's Easter when Jesus rose again from the dead, when he died for our sin. We celebrate that forever and ever. So a real relationship in Christ is because of what he's done. We've received forgiveness, and we have purpose, we have peace, we have a real genuine life, no longer having to search anymore because of what Jesus has done. That is real, real, authentic Christianity. Also says about connecting to Jesus, and that's our series, is that he said this. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, that he may bear much fruit. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. So apart from Jesus Christ, you can do absolutely nothing. So it's that what we're looking at these next couple of weeks of this series of connecting to Christ. To be fruitful, to be an effective Christian is to be to grow into maturity, is to grow strong in our faith, is to be productive and effective with gifts that God might give us in order that we may give glory back to God, or another word, praise him for it, because it's all about him anyway. It's by his grace, as Cindy was saying earlier, thank you for your grace. It's only what you've done that I'm enjoying today. And to keep being fruitful, it is that we keep abiding in him. We keep tapping into the sap, the energy resources into this vine. Now, I don't know about you. I know a good many Christians who are a lot more mature and older in years as a Christian than me. And I often ask them this question. Could you tell me the times when you were very fruitful? Any significant seasons in life when you were very fruitful? And almost 99.9% recurring, they would say it was through the difficult and the hard testing times that you go through. It was those particular times that I really grew strong in my faith. And actually, you can go either way. You either grow strong in your faith or you don't. You walk. You just drift. Some of you know my story, and some of you don't. We lost a baby boy, and my family, who are not Christians, a family of five, and they all thought, "This is it. Simon will not get through on this one." And they were all thinking, yeah, you'll throw your faith away, and that's the end of that. The reality is, because of Christ, our faith grew stronger through it all, thank goodness, by his grace. And as that is a witness to my unbelieving family, and actually was very effective to my mother, who became a Christian a couple of years ago, because of that. She said, I watched you. I wanted to know how you got through on those things. I wanted to know, through the testing, through the fire, were you going to grow stronger in your faith, or were you just going to actually start drift off and walk away? Fortunately, I didn't. I want to really just open up this morning how we can grow strong in our faith, how we can connect to Jesus through those testing times. There's one particular couple, one particular family that I know for many years, and they've gone through some testings. So I actually Facebooked them. That's the way you do things these days. You don't talk to people. I'll come back to that later. But I actually Facebooked them. I asked them, would you write down your story, just very briefly, 100 words, something like that, of your story of the testings that these people go through? And I'd just like to say, this family that I know, they're in their 70s now, this couple, they are the most joyful people I have ever met. It just beams across the universe, their faces. And so this is some of their story, which I got permission to share of. It says, we were married in 1959 and always wanted a large family. We were blessed with a daughter named Susan Jane in October 1960. But all was not well. She had a degree of brain damage and was always unwell. We lost her at the age of 6 just before Christmas. Then we adopt 2 beautiful boys through the Church of England, both of whom have brought us great joy. Some years later, we had our own baby boy, Peter James, but again was unwell and died just a week old. We've always attended church, but wasn't until December 1992 that we started to go to King's Church, Hastings. That's my old church I came from. And we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and had a personal relationship with him. This helped us so much, as Jill had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. We trusted the Lord Jesus, knowing that he was in our lives. Much prayer, Jill was healed. It was also at this time that Jill's brother was murdered, and a week after she came out of hospital. Then, in 2002, Jill was again diagnosed with having more breast cancer, this time more severe, and again with much prayer, Jill was healed, and praise God. What a faithful God we have. Oh, by the way, he says, I forgot to say that we had a shop in a next town along from Hastings in the UK called Bexhill, and it went bankrupt. And then we moved to Hastings. But God has put us in the church and we become born again Christians. He says this, he says, but God works in mysterious ways, but we praise him for it and for putting us here. He works everything for the good. We are both still working with children in the church. He says it keeps us young. God bless you all with much love, Pete and Jill. That amazing story. They're now in their 70s and they're doing youth work and children's work and they keep going. Those guys that I know, there's something, 2 things about them. They're always, I think, man, you've got treasure. You've got grace upon you. 2 things I know. One is their joy. It's just like, what is it about you? It's a Monday morning. Will you please be miserable? And the other thing is this, they're always singing. They're always whistling. I know for Pete, he's a janitor. And he's just, you just know Pete's around. And I think if anybody on planet Earth who shouldn't be whistling and deserves a miserable face is you, Pete. What is it about you? And it's just this wonderful, wonderful branches that are grafted into the vine and seeping and living off Jesus Christ. I want to just open up about how we can grow strong in their faith. For Pete and Jill, they are, through the pain of what they've gone through, are great pillars in their local church. They grew strong in their faith in difficult seasons. It's like Abraham who grew strong in his faith. If you have a Bible, Romans chapter 4. If you do not, we have it up on the screen here. But it says this about Abraham. It says, in hope. Abraham, just to say, is an Old Testament character, a man who believed God, and a man that God gave a promise to him that he would be a blessing to many people because of his faith. He was a father of a very big family in actually what we're enjoying today, faith now found in Jesus Christ. And it says of Abraham, in hope, he believed against hope. You got to get that. That's amazing. In hope, against all hope, he believed that he should become the father of many nations, as he's been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of his wife Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Now you've got to understand this. There is a man, some history here, who's a pagan. He is a wandering pagan. He's a wealthy guy. He's got many sheep, goats, that's the wealth in those days. And he's got a big family. God's blessing him. Then God shouts to him, hey, Abraham. He says, I want to tell you something. He says, I want to make you a promise. Right? He doesn't know God. He says, I want to bless you so that you will be a blessing to the multitude, to many nations. Will you believe me or not? And in simplicity, he says, I believe you. That's amazing. And then we find for Abraham, the promise of blessing was going to come through his children. It was going to come through Isaac. But Isaac didn't come along for a very, very long time beyond the ability to have children. So he has this situation here. I can't have children. I'm 100 years old and the wife can't bear children anymore. But he still believed God. In hope, against all hope, he was still fully convinced that God would bless him and bring about the fulfillment of this promise. It's an incredible verses. It's more incredible, particularly when you meet people who have got hopeless situations and still say, I believe God. Have you met those people? I don't know how it's going to be done. I don't know how it's going to work out. In the physical, in our minds, my humanity, I don't know. It's a hopeless thing. It's not going to work out in the eyes of the world. But Abraham says, but I still believe God. That's raw faith. That's gold. Would you like faith like that? Ready for the testings that are going to come? Of course we want faith like that. For Abraham, it says this, he grew strong in his faith, giving glory to God. He grew strong. He made God look good. He made his father look good. As in a hopeless situation, he said, I still believe you. And while he's going through the difficulties of trying to think, how is this going to happen? I really don't know. He still believed God, and he grew strong in his faith. Let me give you an illustration. The title, could you put the Joe up the next one there? How we can make our daddy look good. How we can make our daddy look really good. Give you an illustration. We have an above ground small swimming pool. It's about 4 foot depth. Now, last summer, this summer, Ellie particularly loves jumping in. So I'm in the middle, and I say to Ellie, Ellie, my 10-year-old daughter, jump in, I'll catch you. And then she'd be there thinking, now you owe, yes I will. She says, trust me, you sure you're going to catch me? I said, yeah, I'm sure I'll catch you. And then everything in her dad says, please do it, don't let me look bad, come on, trust me. So then she jumps in and I catch her, and boy, it doesn't make a dad feel good when that happens. That makes me feel good. But now let's pretend that we decided to go to the Jenny Thompson pool. We haven't been there. I guess it's deeper than my above ground pool. And has it got a diving board? I don't know. It has it? So let's say I'm on one end of the pool, Ellie's on the other. And that she's just playing around. And without me knowing, all of a sudden, let's say a wild dog comes, a dog on it just hanging around. But it starts getting aggressive. I don't see it, Ellie does. So Ellie starts creeping up to the pool because she's cornered. The dog's slowly coming up and growling. And she's coming onto the springboard and she's shouting out, Dad, Dad! And I can see the other side of the pool, this dog. So me as a hero, I jump in, swim, and knowing that there's danger for Ellie. And she's walking on the springboard and she's coming to the end. The dog is coming on at the other end of the springboard. I've got to shout, Ellie, jump, jump in. Trust me, I'll get hold of you. It's out of my depth. I'm treading water, but I'm saying to her, jump. And then she jumps into my arms. We're both treading water and we get to the side. Now, that makes me look really good. Doesn't it? Better than just, you know, feet on the floor. Hey, I can catch you now. But when you're out of your depths, when you think, I don't know what to do, like Abraham, I've got to trust God in this. And God says, jump, trust me. That makes God look good, doesn't it? I want to just speak on a couple of things. How we make our daddy really look good. Particularly in times of testing, particularly what I call the dreaded D's that we all experience in life. Everybody goes for it. If you haven't, you will. All right, every day. The dreaded D's, this is what I call them. Discouragement, depression, disappointments, and delays. About as best as I can get. Any more out there you think of D? Doubt and death. Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Cool. And death. Right, they all begin with D, don't they? All right. How can we make our dad? How can we make God? How can we give glory to God and our faith grow stronger through those times? We all go through them, don't we? We all go through those feelings and experiences. Things didn't work out. You thought they might have worked out. Why do I have these negative thoughts go through around my brain? Why aren't you answering my prayers, Lord? You ever get that? Why? Where are you in all of this? Why aren't you coming to help me? Those delay times. When? Help! How long do I have to wait for? Those kind of things. Here's a good one. I'm a Christian. Why am I thinking these things? I shouldn't be. You ever go through that? Why am I going through all this? Here's another one. Why do I feel down when I've got no reason to be feeling down at all? I've got everything going for myself. Why do I feel these things? Why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel discouraged? It's like the psalmist says, why are you downcast, O my soul? He's asking the question, why are you downcast? Why is it I've got everything and yet I mean myself I feel ugh. Why are you in turmoil within me? You know, the Bible says, I don't know how many times it says in the Bible says this, don't give up. Do not be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't give up meeting together. Do not be disheartened. God always says that. quite often. Do you know why he says that? Because we're prone to do it. Because we're prone to do it. We're human. We feel like giving up. These dreaded D's can emotionally drain us if we keep churning around in our minds, in our brains. Or even a more serious and sober note, take one step further. I don't think I can carry on living anymore. Why don't you just take my life? You know, the Bible, I love the Bible because the Bible is so real. It does not cover up people's genuine, real struggles. Elijah had it. Just take my life. He had no reason. He just done, if you know the story of Elijah, an Old Testament character, he just wiped away a lot of people, and people came to follow God, worship God. Why should he be down? Moses, he prayed. He prayed it. The man of God said, take my life. You think, what? What? That's Moses. Moses is leading these people. Moses is the most humble man on planet Earth. Why are you praying something like that? Job was the same. I guess he had more reason, if you know about Job. He suffered a lot. He says, just take my, I'll just hide quietly in the corner and die. We go through those things. You know, these men of God, they made their daddy look good. They saw what God could do through these dreaded deeds. It's good to be open and honest with God. I want to take two things. I want to look at causes of why we go through these things. And then I want to look at some of the things that help us to keep growing, the cure of keep being connected to Christ. Some of the causes of these things. Why we go through these dreaded ruts of deeds that we go through. The first one is this, is that I believe that we allow feelings to control us. We actually allow feelings to control us. We've got some of the notes there. Now, God's given us emotions. Emotions are feelings are good. It shows that we're human. Laughing, crying, being in a quiet mood or an allow mood is normal. But feelings are there not to control our lives. Okay? You can't sometimes help how you feel. These thoughts just come in. But you can help yourself in what you do with those feelings. Some of the feelings are from the devil. When the devil says, he says, you know, you're worthless. He's better than you, or she's better than you. And I'm no good at anything. And I wish I could be like that person. Is that from God, or is that from somebody else with those things? So we have these feelings, but we don't allow them to rule us. They mustn't take center stage of your life. You know, if you were ruled by your feelings, it's like that Lord of the Rings, that Gollum guy. Remember Gollum? That little crafty little thing that looks like demon? Precious, that's it, yeah. Precious is saying, nobody likes you. Yes, I do. No, and then he doesn't. It's like, it's like this Jekyll and Hyde mask. I hate you. I love you. That kind of thing. And we live by our feelings. You have that kind of, huh? He sits on your shoulder. He's just there. You've seen those movies, haven't you? You've got the little devil and you've got the little angel, haven't you? Everybody's talking about you. And says, everybody loves you. You know, and all those things. Our feelings are like that because in no apparent reason, one moment you're happy and the next moment you don't. You think, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Where is this coming from? I don't understand what's going on. Tommy Stanley was helpful. Tommy leads a church in Missouri, part of our family of churches under a banner called New Frontiers. And he came to preach here last October. And he said this. He said, when we make ourselves the issue and we make things personal and it becomes about me, we will get depressed. Depression comes from making you and the situation the issue, and it will wear you out. I thought it was very helpful. When we live in our feelings, and when we allow feelings dominate us, it will wear you out. because you've got this, well, who am I? What am I doing? Why do I feel like this? All right. Another one is this, cause. Wrong understanding of God. A wrong understanding of God. When I was at high school, I had a crazy math teacher. He was old-fashioned in the fact that he used to wear a black gown still. You know, you watch Harry Potter films. He was like that. He had a little cane and an old-fashioned wooden ruler. I can't remember his name now. Stanley. I can't remember his name. Oh, Stanton. I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What do you need to know? Anyway, he used to, in his gown, he used to go like this. Listen up! In his British way. And if we didn't get the question right, we were falling around. I'm sure he had eyes in the back of his head. He could see everything. He's like, you over there! He used to throw the eraser board thing. And a great shot as well. You get everybody every time. And he used to quickly go around and says, you boy! Like that. Oh, sorry, that hurt, didn't it? I got my ring. Sorry. And he used to go around. He used to go up and down on the desks. He used to go like that. I saw you. He had eyes here and here. And you think, my goodness. And everybody used to fear this guy. I can't remember his name. Fulton Hart, but I know who Fulton Hart is. He's another old-fashioned guy from the army. Some story there. But the thing is that some of us have that kind of idea. That's what God's like. He's just one big bad guy. And if you're naughty, you're quickly. And he's kind of like some tyrant. Some God is like, if you can't happy with him, then you'll start all over rolling down the hill. There's no way I can please God. He's like this old-fashioned math teacher with all the nightmares that come back to us. Okay? He's not. He's faith and grace-filled. And he's got time for us. When I think about Elijah, God said to Elijah, what are you doing here? So God needed to know. But the question was this, you're not in my will. What are you doing here? You're walking out of all the plans I have for you. And then it says that God provided an angel to give him a meal. He didn't say, what are you doing here? He didn't do that. He gave him a meal. He fed him. He provided for him. I think of Peter. We know Peter, he ran away from the crucifixion, and Peter thought he was going to be the man, he could do everything for the Son of God, and he didn't do anything. But it was Jesus who was looking for Peter. The disciples were out fishing, and he says, hey, caught any fish yet? He went out of his way. The Son of God went out of his way to look for Peter and then cooked breakfast. He says, come on, let's talk. I said those wonderful words, do you love me, Peter? So he's graceful. He's not a kind of a God who says, you missed it. He's often the God who gives second chances, third chances, fourth chances. He's a God of grace. It might be another one. This is one that I think sometimes our identity can be wrapped up in busyness. Busyness means being successful. If I can work, it makes me feel good. Or for Christians, the more I do for God, the more happier God is with me. That kind of thing. That's a real one. Someone said this, so often we are tempted to think that relating to God is all about spiritual gymnastics, a frenzy of praying, fasting, and witnessing. If I just keep God happy by doing more God-like things, he will be happy with me. And we're just wrapped up in this, keep busy. And then sometimes we struggle with silence. I don't know, if it's quiet now, say, ooh, this is weird. I can't hear anything. Or we struggle just to sit down and rest. Sometimes I think our communication, I think modern day world has gone crazy sometimes. I don't know about you. I think the way we communicate these days, I find it's like, I find it's like you play tennis, someone throws you a ball, now you throw them a ball, one ball, and 10 balls come back at you. I mean, we communicate through many things now. Email, phone, Facebook, Twittering, Skyping. I don't know, you carry on. And I can spend a whole morning just keep communicating. And every bit of communication, there's often, at the end of the email, three more questions you've got to get back to them. You think, goodness me, it's like, let's keep playing tennis. Bang, 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 bang. It's a crazy world. In Bible times, they had donkeys to go around. So they had time to talk. It would take a day or two to get from A to B. You think, sometimes we're mad, we just carry on. Eat every little bit of minute that we've got just so we can keep going on this treadmill. When we stop, often we can think we feel depressed because we're not doing anything. We're resting. This feels weird. I don't feel right. I don't like this kind of thing. The last one is this. Some of the causes, perhaps by why we get depressed, is this. And the biggest one, fear. We're just fearful. We fear the worst. We fear our future. We fear that we're not in control anymore. We fear for our family members. We fear for our friends. We fear for ourselves. We're just fearful. Hard to trust God. It's very easy for Abraham, and he was actually a couple of times, he messed it up. When you're fearful, you can lose the plot completely. I've been going through in the mornings, I've been going through some of the Old Testament characters. The majority of those, think of David, Saul, the majority of those guys, many others, when they messed up and they went wayward, was because of fear. You look at it, you think, where did they go wrong? Go back to the point. It was fear. David feared the Philistines. He went off the beaten track. So he was serving the Philistines at one point. Saul feared, the Philistines. And so he disobeyed God. Fear is something that can wrap up in us. And we don't find faith, we don't find God, then we try and work things out ourselves. We often find we come to an inner turmoil with no relief at all. Little quote here. Many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves, the regret of the past and the fear of the future. Fear is a cause of why we get disappointed sometimes, because we're not actually in line and abiding in Christ, what he wants us to do. Some of the cures. All right, that's some of the causes. Here's some of the cures. How do we connect to Jesus? Getting out of these D's that I've called, these dreaded D's. Key thing is this, is we come back to basics. We come back to what we already know, all of us know. First one is this, is get to know God. Get to know God. In other words, read your Bibles. It's simple. Really. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says this, and this is encouragement to me. It says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures that we might have hope. So that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Truth encourages me, does it you? It encourages me. Circumstances come second. Feelings come second. Truth fortifies me. It strengthens me. It puts metal into me, if you like. Right? It brings everything of comfort to us. That's what truth does. I would encourage you. Reading the Bible isn't so you've done your spiritual disciplines. Reading the Bible is ultimately so you get to know God better. You look through the Old Testament characters, you find, how did they get through? How did Abraham get through? You know how? He believed the promises of God. That's what got him through, nothing else. He believed. If we believe truth, that will encourage you to read your Bibles. Key doctrines, basic doctrines. A couple of months ago, I just got into a doctrine, persevering of the saints, doctrine of salvation. I tell you what, it blew my mind away. I loved it. I'm thinking, yes, Lord, thank you for my salvation. It made me very grateful of what Jesus has done. Biographies. I tell you what, I read Eric Liddell, beginning of the year. 1924 gold Olympic champion and a Christian. People only know him for Chariots of Fire. They wouldn't see him for what he did in China. And he died in China on the missionary field. I tell you what, I was blessed. People's lives, the cost of people's lives for the gospel, it blesses me. Read your Bibles. Get back to basics. I tell you what, something I do very often is that I read the Bible out loud. You know why? Because there are screaming voices coming in my brain while I'm reading. Do you ever get that? And I'm reading it four times, and I still haven't got it, because I've got to do this, got to do that. All right? Read it out loud, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. I do most of my reading out loud. It's a bit... Alison says, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading. I encourage you, read. A good little thing, one of my favorite characters, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says, a great little book called Spiritual Depression, a great little book he's got, he says this, don't let the flesh speak to you, you speak to the flesh. I like that. So when those feelings come in, and they come in every day, because the devil says that he's the accuser of the brothers. Always, 24/7, he says, you're useless, you're worthless, you won't do it. It never happened. Always, the devil will always shout that at you. So then I say, hold a minute, God says this, he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. I'm loved by God, and nothing can separate me from that love. We've got to use the Bible as our weapon, the sword. We've got to use our Bible and be strengthened in it as well. We've got to keep reminding ourselves who we are in Christ as well. Another preacher, his name is Spurgeon, and from the 18th century. Do you know, he was one of the most depressive people you could meet. He had terrible bouts of depression. And his wife, Susanna, used to get him out of bed. He was so depressed, he couldn't get out of bed. So he used to read scripture to him. He used to have a plaque on the wall in his bedroom of scripture, just to get out of bed, because he was so depressed. He said he used to weep like a baby for hours for no reason. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? And yet, for Spurgeon, his wife used to say, come on, the Bible says this, get out of bed, go to your work. We need to get our Bibles. We need to get truth in us and turn it into worship and turn it into prayer. That's a good practice to do. Whatever I've got of truth, I thank God for, and I say, Lord, I want more of it. And I want it for the city and surrounding areas. Second one is this, coming back to basics, is be a worshiper. That's your first primary calling. Sing, sing, sing. That's what I do. I just sing. Could be old songs, could be new songs, it could be hymns. It could be the Psalms, just going for the Psalms right now. So I sing the Psalms. Just to sing does you good. I don't know what the neighbors think of us, because sometimes I'm on my back of my deck. La, 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 la. I don't know what they think. But singing is good. I tell you what else is really good as well, is to sometimes, if you're old enough, is you drive in the car, and you've got your 6-speaker stereo system, and you whack it up, Max. And I tell you what, you just put the songs on. And I was driving to Connecticut for 4 hours. I just bled my iPod dry, just putting on Christian songs. And at the end of it, I was, shut up, buddy, and they're speaking in tongues, and God bless Dover. Save my family. That was faith. truth, joy coming out of your mouth is what God's done in your heart. Be a worshiper. Are you a worshiper? Thing is, reading your Bible and worshiping is hard, isn't it? Be honest. But it's basic as well, isn't it? Nothing new here. It's just the love and discipline to do so. Be a worshiper. Abide in my love. Going through the Psalms again, bless me. I read them. I keep a journal. I'm so grateful God loves me. I really am. I know it's simple to say, but when it comes with faith and you see what God's done for you, it's steadfast. Psalm 63, verse 3, really bless me. Your love is better than being alive itself. I thought, yeah, that's so true. So true. It is true. And I'm blown away by it. His steadfast love, his faithfulness to us blows me away. We were at a leaders' conference back in February or March, whatever it was. Terry Virgo, a guy who leads the family of churches, he brought a word about God's faithfulness. He said this. He said, God's faithfulness is not that you be stable and comforted. He said, God's faithfulness also propels us to share good news with people. That really helped me. I thought, yeah, you're so faithful. And it propelled me with a new sense of fresh faith coming to us. We need to be real, genuine worshippers as well. I think a couple of things is be with people who build you up. All right? Spurgeon says, be with people that you feel you've had a holiday rather than you need a holiday with. We need people to build us up. Now, if you're British, like me, we don't want people to build us up. We can do it on our own, thank you very much, kind of people. I guess it's a bit like the New Englanders as well, isn't it? But we need people. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We mustn't be too proud to ask for help from people. They will encourage you. They will do you good. Last one is this. Life is short, but eternity means forever. Well, that came with fresh revelation. Life is short, but eternity means forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The Bible talks about life as being like a flower, like springtime. Flower comes up in the morning, and it's all radiant by the afternoon, and then withers and dies by the evening. Talks about being a vapor or just a breath. You know, people often say, well, how's your summer? Well, just been and gone. How's your life? Whew, got done. Often people say, where does time go? I'm sure years are getting faster. And then you talk to folk who are retired. So how's retirement? It's as busier than it ever was before. There's no stopping. Life goes quick. We have only a moment. And even through the struggles that we may go through, it's good to know we've got something of a hope to look forward to. Very quick. It's very quick. Young people, it's very quick. You might think you've got your life ahead of you, but it goes very quick. But we've got a hope for eternity. A glorious hope that will not disappoint us. Well, the Bible says there won't be any more depression or discouragements or disappointments or delays. It says about no more sadness, no more pain, no more death, just sheer joy being with Christ. looking forward to that day? That propels me. Does that propel you? That really does. You think, oh, I know this stuff. I know it too. But when it comes with faith, when you see it through testing, I tell you what, that makes my daddy look really good because my faith is getting stronger. Do you want to make your daddy look good? Let's stand up, shall we? In a moment, we're just going to be doing our tithes and offerings. It's like giving in the church. If you'd like to give, that's great. If you don't, that's fine. And also, we'll be doing the connection cards as well. Actually, just pick them up if they're on your seat. Just pick up the card which is on your chair. And you'll find on there a couple of questions. And so it's your first time or second time here. Please just check that box and any information that you feel comfortable to give and appropriate, please do. There's questions about there about, I'm interested in more knowing Jesus. And you might well be. So check that box. There might be some comments. There might be some things this morning you feel, from this morning, God spoke to me about this. How do I put that into practice? That's the most blessed person on earth. Someone who puts into practice what they've heard through the Bible. So you might want to do that now. Perhaps get a pen, write down what you feel God might speak to you about, or check one of the boxes. Once you've done that, we just see what God wants to do in the midst of us. Thank you, Lord. Paul says this. He says, Apostle Paul in the New Testament, you know what it is, who preached the gospel in ancient Asia. He says this, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. In other words, I've been poor, and I've been comforted. I've been looked after. But then he says this, and I have learned the secret of being content and in anything and every situation, that whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Why did he say that? What is that secret? And why is that secret? As far as I understand a secret is something that's hiding. You have to look for it. You have to find it. Well, I think Paul's saying this, is that secret of contentment is found in Christ, he says later on. It's only in Christ. It's only in Jesus. That secret, I don't know how many Christians have found it yet. But when he's content, he's a very happy man. I think that contentment is knowing he's found Christ and he's got to know him, and he made his daddy look good too with his faith. I want us to pray that we know this secret and to find that getting to know God through the Bible and worshipping God for who he is, we grow strong in our faith and we get to know that secret in our own lives. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands to God, shall we? Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word saying that abiding in you is that we will bear fruit. And without you, we are totally and utterly useless. We are nothing. So, Lord, I just pray. What I ask for myself, for my brothers and sisters, for everyone in this room. Help us, Father, to get to know you better. Help us to make better choices. Help us not to have those whispers of like Gollum trying to say to us differently than what we truly are as a child of God. Help us not to wrap up our identity in just being busy people. Just help us, Lord God, to keep knowing that your love compels us to spend time with you. And your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Help us, Lord, and teach us. Put that yoke on us, Lord. Help us to be singers in our heart. Help us to be worshippers, not to be afraid of our own voices even. To sing to you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We want to keep, as a church, keep being connected to you and keep thriving for you. And where we get pruned, Lord, we know it's just another opportunity to grow stronger in our faith. Thank you, Lord. Finish with a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. King and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are. You are the light that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning. Son of God, you are the one. Lord, you are the one.
We'll be right back.
just lift up his name together. Lord, we love you.
Husband's cooking for you. And God bless you all.